Please welcome Pastor Inami.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. How are you all? Thanks, Andrew. I think, thank you very much. Andrew's done the first part of the message, so I'll just pray and we go. No, it's good. I'm glad you did. How is everyone? Good. It's good to see you all. So as Andrew said, we're doing the second part of our story of future. So those cards, some of you would have taken them home, some may have not, but they're on your seats and we are going to fill them in at the end of the service. So I'm going to just try and finish a little bit early so we can have time to fill them in, put them in the buckets and pray. But before we do that, we just want to talk a bit more about our story of future and what it's all about. The first thing I want to highlight is just that word, our story. That's about a sense of unity. It's not my story, my future. It's about the church of God, the people of God. There's a unity there. You know, we are called the body of Christ, and every part of the body is important. If you've ever hurt your finger or any small part of your body that, you know, you don't tend to pay attention to every day, you'll know that when you do hurt that part of your body, all of a sudden you understand its relevance, right? Every part of the body matters. Every single person in this room has a very important role to play. The person that you're sitting next to needs you. Even though they may never have said to you, I need you. They need you because there's something that they have that you probably don't have and vice versa. So we need each other, even if you may not like the person you're sitting next to. Liking and needing are two different things. Hopefully you like your spouse, but yeah. She has her moments. Okay, she's just moved away. So our theme this year, as I mentioned last week, is City of Refuge. And I'm reading from Numbers chapter 35, verse 9 to 15. For today, I'm just going to do 9 to 12. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into Canaan, select some towns to be your cities of refuge, to which a person who has killed someone accidentally may flee. They will be places of refuge from the avenger, so that anyone accused of murder may not die before they stand trial before the assembly. Here we see a setup. God set something up. He set up things such that there were clearly identified and accessible places to which those who were in danger could flee and find protection. God was strategic in that. This year, our story of future invites us to consider how our church buildings support a similar spiritual mission. This is our story, our future. Building a visible, welcoming, and enduring church where people can run to Jesus and find hope. A lot of us here are fairly new to the church, fairly new as in maybe we've been here the last 10 years, but the church has been around for a long time. And when I say the church, I'm meaning both Fremantle and Kwinana. And our story of future has been around for all that time. So we're all joining our story, our future at different phases. Someone started it, people have given into it, we are giving into it, and people are going to continue to give into it because it's our story, our future. It's what we're doing now that is connected to the future, not just of the local church, but even just globally, because everything that we do here affects everything else. There's a ripple effect. So I think I've told this story before, but I'll share it again because it's relevant. So in 1994, I was in secondary school, and I was a prefect. And one of our duties as prefects is that in the afternoons, you would supervise the students to make sure that they were actually studying and not, you know, playing around. So when you were supervising, you would sit at the front of the class like the teacher with your own desk, but you're facing the class. And I remember sitting there and all of a sudden, there was a brick, that was thrown through the window. And then there was desks banging. Students stood up and there was chaos. And I had absolutely no idea what just happened. All of a sudden, I saw the students run out of the classroom, and in the corridor were all the students from all the neighboring classes. And I saw the duty teacher, and he looked at me and he just said, just let them go. I didn't know where I was letting them go, but he just said, just let them go. And people started running, and I joined in. I also started running. I didn't know where to, just run with the crowd. And our school was next to the main mall. And as we were running, it just seemed to get worse by the minute, because next thing, we were in the middle of the mall and there were police cars, there were soldiers. Next, there was a helicopter. It was chaos. And, you know, for a moment there, I was so confused. I didn't know what I was going to do, what was going to happen. And myself and a few girls remembered that there was a church nearby, a Catholic church. And we ran to the church and we hid in the church. I can't remember how many hours, but it was long enough for everything to quiet down. And we stayed there until it felt safe to come out. These cities that I've just been talking about existed because there were circumstances in which somebody desperately needed somewhere to escape, somewhere to go to. And I think that, you know, gives us two very powerful ways of thinking about the people who come through our buildings. So I want to talk to you this morning about what I've called away from motivation and towards motivation. Away from motivation, that's running from something unpleasant. What are people running from? What were you running from that landed you in the house of God? Away from motivation is about this mindset that I need to change my life because my current path is not working. Something is not working. It's no longer safe. I need to get away from something. For some, it's running away from guilt and weight of our past sins. So we're running away. We're fleeing a life of addiction, emptiness, broken relationships. Things are not working. We're seeking refuge from fear, from the unexpected. Things like a strike breaking out while you're doing the ordinary. A time of confusion when bricks hit windows, banging of desks. Away from motivation provides a powerful, urgent wake-up call that forces someone to seek God for immediate rescue and peace. A lot of people end up in church because life is no longer working the way that they thought, or something is not right, and they just seem to gravitate, or they've been invited. But the church, there is an image that someone has that if I just go to church, maybe, just maybe I'll find some answers. People should be able to come through the doors of our churches and discover that they don't have to pretend. They don't have to have everything worked out, everything together, that they can encounter a living God. The church cannot, obviously, prevent every storm or solve every problem, But it can become a place of refuge. And our buildings allow for that to happen. It's a place of congregation. Having said that, we don't just stop at away from. We don't want to just be moving away from something that is unpleasant. And I want to talk about towards motivation. Towards motivation is about running towards something, something pleasant. So what are people running towards? It's one thing to run away from something, but what are you running towards? Why the church? Why come here? What pulled you to the house of God? Besides running from something unpleasant, for many, this is driven by a deep desire for spiritual growth. And if you were to think up, if we were to each think about, you know, why we came to the church, something was happening in your life and you felt like you needed more. You looked at your life and you thought, I have all these things, but something is still missing. The interesting thing is some of us are still in that space where we feel like something is missing. But the mindset is, I want to know God intimately and live out his purpose for my life. That's what towards motivation is supposed to be about. But what happens is this, the danger is this. The danger of only understanding refuge as somewhere we run away to is that we can make the Christian life entirely about escape. We're escaping the unpleasant. We don't just run away from something. We also want to run towards something. That's what these buildings represent. Not just running away, but running towards something of significance. The city of refuge wasn't simply an escape from danger. It was a place of protection, a place of belonging, relationship, and ultimately restoration. Because the future of the church isn't simply come here because the world is bad. It's not. It shouldn't be. It should be come here because there is something beautiful here. The Lord Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sometimes we can get stuck in the escape. We've escaped from something. We've landed in the church, but we have not come to Jesus. And when I say we have not come to Jesus, I'm not just talking about praying that prayer of giving your life to the Lord. Sometimes you may have already done that, but you're still not coming to Jesus. You're still not seeking him. You know, the Bible tells us that God made Jesus Lord. Quite often when we pray, we say, Lord, I want to make you Lord of my life. But God already made him Lord. Our job is to submit to his lordship because that's already been established. But for a lot of us, sometimes we just come and camp. I don't know if I talked about my little chair from Bunnings last time, but anyway, I bought a chair from Bunnings and it's in our laundry cupboard because that's where I go to hide. When I need to escape, not from the world, but from my family, that's where I go, and I camp there. But how do you think it would be if I just decided this is where I'm living now? Because sometimes life can feel like that, right? It feels nice and comfortable, and you just want to camp. But it's not meant to be like that. But for a lot of us, that's exactly how we interact with church life. We come and we camp. And that's it, because it's comfortable. But we haven't taken it that next step, which is, okay, it's time to get out of the laundry cupboard now. You need to go make dinner. You need to talk to the children. You have a husband. All that stuff, right? As much as I would like to just stay in that little cupboard in my own comfort, that's not how life works. And so when we think about what the church is, we don't want to leave it to be merely a place of escaping, just a refuge, but we're not coming to Jesus. we're not showing him our wounds. We're not praying to him and asking him to guide us. What next? What is it that I need to do? What is my next move? As much as it may be comfortable to do that. Some people will come to church because they need refuge. But our prayer is that after finding refuge, we discover family. After discovering family, we find purpose. And after finding purpose, we can become refuge for someone else. You're never meant to sit on your gifts. You were never meant to sit on the revelation God has given you about himself. God shows each and every one of us his character differently. We all understand a different aspect of God, but we're not meant to just sit there and enjoy it for ourselves. That's why I said the person next to you needs you in ways that you may never have imagined. I ran into the church. I didn't go there because I had planned to have a quiet time with God. I went there because I needed somewhere safe to go in the midst of confusion. Inside, I found safety. I found a place where I could take a breath, whereas outside there was fear, was scary. So I stayed there for a while. I didn't fully understand it back then, but looking back, I realized something. I was running from danger, and I instinctively ran towards a place that represented safety. I wonder how many of you this morning feel safe in church. You feel like it's a place of refuge. It's a safe place. And you know, not too long ago, we talked about, you know, we're talking about safe church and about the church being a safe place and how you as an individual are meant to be a safe person, safe place. Philippians 2 verse 9 to 11 says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, him being Jesus, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Everything that we do boils down to the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that he is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Our acknowledging of Jesus is to the glory of the Father. I say all of this to say it's always important to realize that when you narrow it all down, it's all about Jesus. Everything that we do, he is the center. He is the beginning and the end. He is our everything. He is the name that's above every other name. All about Jesus. That's what our story, our future is about. It's not about us just being C3 Fremantle, C3 Kwinana. It's not us standing out as a church over there being better than the next church, having the best worship team, having the best ministries. It's all about Jesus. He's the center of everything. You know, we had Connect Group yesterday, and one of the things we talked about was death, the importance of death, and how death is at the center of us being able to glorify God. Because it's when you die to self that you step out in faith. But when you're not dead to self, you care very much about what people think, what people say. You care very much about self-preservation. But when you die to self, then it all becomes about Jesus. And that really, the goal for every single one of us should be death. I know that's a weird way to say it, but that's exactly what the Lord requires of us. Death. So before we come into our time of giving and faith promises, I want to review a couple of slides just to look at what we have done so far through our story, our future. So this year's secondary giving initiative, running over 18 months, From 1st of April 2025 to the 31st of August 2026. It supported our repairs and our maintenance, ensuring that they remain lasting places of refuge. So there's a lot we have to thank the Lord for. So one of the main things is that 4.8 million that you see up there, that's the value of our two church buildings currently. They're valued at that, approximately. Kwinana is not carrying a separate mortgage, so we don't have two separate building loans, which is great, because that's a debt that was absorbed into the Fremantle mortgage about 3 years ago. So against that, our combined mortgage is 2.38 million. So that essentially means that the church has approximately 2.42 million in equity. So if we sold the buildings today for their current value and paid off the mortgage, we would have 2.42 million left over. That's something worth celebrating. That's the journey so far. And many who have come before us have made that possible. And many who are here today have made that possible. And today is about allowing that to continue. So the loan to value ratio is 49.6%. So that means that we own more than we owe, right? We own more, we've paid off more than we owe. So banks consider that as a low risk loan. So we are in a good financial position. That's a significant achievement and something worth celebrating. So just looking at some of those figures, the 31,136 under Fremantle, that's how much has been spent on repairs and maintenance in Fremantle, and then 26,322 in Kwinana for the same thing. So our giving has been doing something tangible. Over the 18-month period, the church has received 84,535 through our story, our future. That is significant. That is something worth celebrating, especially during these difficult times. You know, money is always a challenge. Paying bills, school fees, the list goes on. And yet you as a church have been generous enough in the last 18 months to give that. And so 84,535, and so far we have used the bulk of that for the things that I'll tell you what we've spent it on. But we've used 82,458 so far. So it's great. The main things, there's three main things that amount has been used for. One is the repairs for Fremantle, and the other is the repairs for Kwinana. But thirdly, $25,000 went directly against the mortgage principal. So not paying for, not interest, actually going to reducing the mortgage. So that's, once again, something worth celebrating. So when we gave, it didn't just disappear. And the money didn't just disappear into a general account. Our giving has been translated into buildings being maintained, problems being fixed, and debts being reduced. So we thank the Lord for that. So we're just going to take the time now. The thing is, there's something I didn't speak into. Yeah, so it's projected that in the next 12 months, at least $60,000 will come from our story, our future. And that's just based on what has happened in the past, where there's been the same amount given. Looking at a 12-month period. So we're anticipating, but I dare say, as a step of faith, that we will go beyond that. Even though we're projecting 60,000, I believe we'll go beyond that. So we're just going to take time now. If I could have like Noctula or Kim, someone to just play in the background. But we're going to take a moment to fill in these cards. Get your pens. If you have not yet gone and prayed about this and talked to your family about it, that's okay. There's always next weekend, the week after to do that. But today, the mission is we are filling the cards in, and then we're going to give into that. So I'll come back after about 5 minutes to just close. So please, let's just fill in. I mean, the cards are pretty self-explanatory, but you get to choose whether you want to give weekly, fortnightly, or monthly. over the next 12 months, and you can choose the amount. Or you can give a one-off. But what we're doing is we're encouraging faith promises because it helps how we budget and do things for our buildings. Thank you. Got the ashes going around. If you just want to give them your card, let's remember you can still do this throughout the next few weeks. So if you're not ready or you haven't prayed about it or talked about it, take the card with you. I need you to just stand up, please. I'm going to make a statement, and I want you to tell me whether you agree or disagree. The church is full of weird people. How many agree? Yeah? 5, 6? How many of you feel like you are that weird person? I was expecting more hands that I'm seeing. Just shy. Weird is not bad. You know that, right? You know, sometimes, you know, you get kids coming and say, oh, the kids at school said I'm weird. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. Weird means different, right? It's meant to be an insult, but it's all about how you think about these things. They even have little bags written, I am weird, or something like that, you know? It's owning that word. So don't worry next time somebody calls you weird. Celebrate. Sorry, what did you say? Yes, exactly what he said. Say thank you. Acts chapter 2 verse 36 says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. The choice is not in making him Lord but rather in submitting to his lordship. He's already established as Lord. We don't make him Lord. He is Lord. But we get to choose whether we're going to submit to his lordship. And as we finish off, I just really want to pray into that for all of us. I just feel really strongly around that. Submitting to the lordship of Jesus Christ. There are things that the Lord Jesus Christ will ask of you that he will not ask of the next person. And one of the things that Pastor Stephen always talks about is about your priesthood. Your priesthood determines the sacrifices the Lord will ask you to make, the things he'll ask you to give up. So lordship is already established, but our job is to submit to it. And depending on your priesthood, it's going to be different what is asked of you. That's why I was talking about death to self. To the degree to which you are willing to die, to that degree will God guide you through your priesthood. For as long as you're still living for you, the Lord will not be able to use you the way that he wants to use you. But you get to choose. You know, sometimes we can feel like God's not answering our prayers, God's not hearing us, God's not working in our lives. It's not that. He's already Lord. He's already established. He's already done it all. On the cross, he said, "It is finished. It is all done and dusted." He doesn't need to do any more. God doesn't hate you. God hasn't forgotten you. You are not insignificant, but will you submit to his lordship? Submitting means letting go of your preconceived ideas about how your life should be. Sometimes we have our own plans about how our lives should be, but the Lord calls us to die to self. It's not easy to die to self. That's why we don't do it in our own strength. He does it. We come to him and said, "Lord, here am I." So I want to pray into that. I'd like you to think about, in what area of my life am I still very much alive? In what area of my life am I still very much proud? Because it's pride that keeps us alive when God asks us to die. So let us pray. Just think about what that looks like for you. Because there is no one like the Lord. He is been established as Lord. We are not making him Lord. We are choosing to surrender. Father, we just thank you for your goodness and mercy. We thank you, Father, for the work of the cross. We thank you, Lord, that when you said it is finished, you really meant that it is finished. We no longer need to do anything else. We do not need to sacrifice bulls and goats and pigeons. We just need to submit to what you've already done. Father, I pray, like, as we reflect on what areas of our lives we're still very much alive and need to die, I pray that you would show us, open up our spiritual eyes so that we may see. And Father, your word says, "My sheep hear my voice." I pray, Father, that we would hear the things that you are telling us. Father, we thank you that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. I thank you, Father, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Father, you have called us to be a place of refuge. Every single one of us are called to be a safe space, a safe person. So, Lord, I pray for all of us who are still carrying things that are stopping us from being that safe space. May we be a place of refuge, and may we see your church as a place of refuge. But Lord, I pray that we would not remain stagnant. I pray we would not remain just comfortable, just seated. For anyone who is hiding in the church, Lord, I pray, Father, that we break that spirit of wanting to be safe, wanting to be safe and comfortable in a way where we don't step out. The church is a safe place, but it's not meant to be a hiding place. We're not meant to hide from the things of God. I pray, Father, for healing, where healing needs to happen. For those who need to get out of their own shells, I pray, Father, even as we pray, show them, open up our eyes. We know that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. But you came that we may have life, life more abundantly. We will not experience that life as long as we are hiding. I pray for freedom, Lord. May you set us free. Everything that is binding us, show us. Even this week, Lord, show us. Show us where we're hiding. Jesus is Lord. This week, may you know what dying to self looks like so that you may submit to his lordship. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Ben.